Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 201, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Friday, September 10th, 2021, Friday. A day before the 20th anniversary of September 11th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. from the back to the middle and around again. I'm gonna be there till the trend 100%. Do love. That is courtesy of Radio Giorgio, who pointed out that the late Michael K. Williams choreographed and dances in that video with Crystal Waters.
Oh shit! Yeah, I knew he was a dancer. Yeah, I didn't know that. Wow, that's a catalog.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, well, you know how I do on a Friday night. I'm just probably
driving and I'm smoking. Means I'm faded, got these cravings. But it's late and nothing's open. Need that fourth meal, so I'm going. Said, who getting Taco Bell tonight? Who getting Taco Bell tonight? Ain't as much as a well tonight.
Woo!
Giving my toilet hell tonight.
Okay, it's Con Gray West, a.k.a. Miles Gray. Thank you so much to Christy Yamaguchi Mane for that part. I had to kind of give that first verse just to kind of set up the scene. But thank you at Waffle House for that inspired a.k.a.
Yeah, we got to bring that in. We got to bring in the background. That was beautiful.
I mean, look,
well done.
Who is getting Taco Bell tonight?
Can we? That would have and what one of the few times where the AKA is a drastic improvement on the lyrical content of the actual song.
Yeah, I feel like I could sing that with a lot more passion than I guess than to tonight. Like,
yeah,
tonight. Oh, oof.
Yeah, because like his version is. I think it's like about how Marilyn Manson should be canceled, maybe. like, is Marilyn Manson like cameos on the... Look,
just Jack, come on. Who's getting Taco Bell tonight?
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
That's the important question.
Ask the questions that are on the zeitgeist's mind.
Yes, exactly.
Miles, we are thrilled, fortunate, blessed to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant storyteller who is the lead creative strategist for Salted Logic. She's worked in everything from fine art to technology to academia to conservation, has worked with everyone from small business owners in Hawaii to a global PR firm in New York City. She is the co-host of the podcast, The Upvote, and created the three-part audio experience they called Mihapa. Please welcome the talented, the brilliant Hina Wilkerson!
Hey, hello! I didn't know that you were supposed to bring our favorite Drake bars from his latest album. If I knew that, I would have come prepared.
Yeah,
but I have no song. But it's wonderful to be here with you guys.
No, thank you so much.
It's wonderful to have you.
Have you gotten through either of those long-winded albums?
No.
Yeah, and that seems to be the general tone.
Plan to. Here's the thing. Like, I think, like anybody that's maybe under the age of 30, at one point in my life, I did like Drake. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the backdrop to my middle school angst. He gave me a channel to, you know, kind of express all the pain I was going through at a certain age, even though my life was so simple. But that guy in third grade, he broke my heart, and Drake just gave me the anthem for it. And so, you know, in a way, he gives me something, but at this point, it's like all the pedophilia. I just, you know, hot take. Don't doubt.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
I think there's a lot of, not much of a hot take when there's a lot of receipts. You're like, you're talking to how old? Are they? It's like, yeah, but like, just to let them know like how this business is.
Yeah. Well, well, also any woman that has been 17 has had an older guy in their life that's like, you know what? You're so mature. Like, there's just something about you. And I don't know. You're just not like the other girls. And you're like, oh my God, wait, me? I've always thought I was mature. That's absolutely correct. Yes. Well, you can date me in secret. Yeah. And then you turn 25 and you're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, what a fucking creep.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this still the Millie Bobby Brown shit, or are there more receipts, more shit coming out? I'm not up on Drake's.
I think there's people that like he's dated that are now like 19 and 20, but he's been in photos with since they were like 16. So there's questions of like kind of a grooming, and then he comes out when they're legal and he's like, oh no, it was chill. Before now, like we weren't doing anything weird. It was mentorship. And then all of a sudden we fell in love.
So pick your poison with those two albums.
Or maybe don't.
Lil Sims.
Maybe
check out Lil Sims. Yeah. Lil Sims' album is great.
Yeah, there you go.
I heard ABBA's dropping something new though. Maybe listen to
that. Yeah, I can't wait for that. I mean, I can, but you know.
I don't think they've dated any kids. So they're safe.
Right. Where are you coming to us from?
I am coming to you from Nashville. I just moved here a couple of months ago from New York City.
Okay.
And it's been good so far. The South has been good to me. So it's been nice.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. A lot of people making that, you know, we've had other guests not resist the allure of Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the less weird version of Portland, just as white, but a little less weird.
That's interesting. I'm gonna look at it through that lens.
What made you move? Was there like a general like New York is over vibe?
I don't think it's New York it's over. It's just that like every apartment in New York is the size of a shoebox unless you're a multimillionaire. So it was something about being in like a heightened version of quarantine where we were all just kind of like test lab rats in this box, and you order your groceries. So you truly never leave your house. And then once it got winter, you extra don't leave your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was just kind of like staring out of the window, like dogs waiting for their owners to come back, but no one ever came for us. And so the anxiety was just too much and the cost was way too much. And like, who knows if something is going to happen again and we're going to be quarantined, I'd rather be in a house.
Right.
Yeah. So it was just such a bummer. And I moved there to get my master's. And so the whole time I was in school and I was working full time. So I never got to like, I never fell in love with the city. I think if I got the chance to just, like, have one job and be able to, like, go out on the weekends, I would have a totally different picture. But New York was just, like, a place that I lived. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you worked your ass off. Yeah. I think that's for a lot of people, too. Like,
The hustle. Yeah.
It is all
which about is a certain kind of fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, they just never live up to it.
I lived there for like 7 years and then I just went back for like 2 days of vacation. And I was with kids. So that also like changed the lens I was viewing it with.
Oh, wow.
Through. But it was like totally different. And yeah, it was kind of cool. But that did make me realize how much I was just like head down working my ass off the whole time that I lived there.
Well, it's one of those cities that's almost not really a place that you... It's like Vegas. Like, people live in Vegas, but it's like, should you? Like, it's like living at Disneyland. It sounds like a good idea when you're 10, but it's like, in practice,
you're too busy thinking about whether you could.
Yeah, so you have two options going out. You're going to go strip club, or are you going to get drunk?
Right.
And you can only do that for so many weekends in a row.
Yeah, or shoot a machine gun.
Ooh, that too. You know what I mean?
Shoot a machine gun, race a race car, you know, take a very expensive, shitty roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. And then that's about it.
Drive a construction truck. You can like rent giant construction trucks. But you know what?
Fucking parks out there, because all that fucking gambling, that revenue that it generates out there. When I see the public parks, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
They're nice.
Yeah, they've got really, really nice public parks.
That's such a specific compliment.
Yeah, I had to live there for a few months back when I was in my political op days. And I just remember, like, we very quickly burned through all the same shit, like, in the first week. We're like, bro, I can't go to fucking rain again. Like, this is not going to fucking work for my body or my wallet. And then because we're doing a lot of like organizing and stuff in the area, we would go to certain like parks and community centers. And every time I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, and they said, this is the bad part of town. I'm like, they got a fucking better parks than we do in LA.
Shit. Oh, yeah. A lot of people have better parks than we do in LA.
Yeah. I mean, we have terrible
parks. The worst parks.
Like, to the point that I almost complimented New York City's parks when I was talking earlier. Like, that's...
Well, it's the giant rats that really kind of add to the feeling. It's almost like you're in an outdoor zoo. You're like, look at that. Is that a sheep? Or is this like a petting kind of thing?
Yeah, but they're off leash, so they get to, like, you know, just explore the space.
Yeah, it's like you're on the Sahara without having to travel.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look, those raccoons are hurting those dogs. It's like, those are rats, not raccoons.
Ah, nature is beautiful. Nature is healing.
LA just needs to turn every single golf course within the city limits into a giant park.
And just seize them.
That's anybody who knows how to do that, reach out to me. We need to seize that shit. All right.
Reach out to me, please.
Reach out to me. Hit me up.
I got some ideas.
Let's board these parks like fucking pirates.
I got some scratchers I haven't quite scratched off. We might be able to fund this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. all right, Hino, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the war on terror. We're going to take a look back at that bullshit through the eyes of Terry Albury, who was an FBI agent who is currently in jail as the first person convicted under the Espionage Act since 2001. Because he was basically like, oh, the FBI is basically sending people to prison and ruining people's lives for being Muslim. And this is fucked up. And he leaked it to The Intercept. And the details are wild and fucked up. So I just want to take a look at that as we're nearing the 20-year anniversary of September 11th. We're going to talk about Trump's campaign to stay front and center of our minds, how that's going. We're going to talk about America's weird history of, you know, commercializing 9/11 memorabilia, all of that, plenty more. But first, Hina, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, there's a caveat here.
Sure.
So my last search is cheating dating sites. Now, I want to be clear that I was not searching these out for my own use, but I'm launching it. No, I would never.
Yeah.
But I'm in the middle of launching a podcast and we're doing an episode about cheating and like films and TV shows that talk about cheating. And I was thinking, what is that website that people can go to? And it was like a big conversation maybe 5 years ago, and there was some leak, and I couldn't figure it out. It's Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
And I was looking for research.
For the same thing. Well, you're going to be the guest on the show.
Awful things on this site. Awful, terrible things.
I mean, first of all, it doesn't really stick in your brain because it sounds like a fucking furniture brand.
Yeah.
And then it was like men and bots, like men looking to cheat on their wives.
No, I read a recent review of people doing like a, are you thinking about using a dating site? Here's your options. And it reviewed Ashley Madison, and it actually is almost all real women because it's pretty much free to use the site if you're a woman. And then the men have to pay for credits, like almost like a, what's that, where the guys are trying to like get a girl from like another country and they pay credits to mail. It's like that, but
mail
domestic.
Order bride type.
Exactly.
Thing.
It's exactly like that, but domestic. And all of the people, I mean, based on this review, who knows how real it is, but all of the people they said were completely legitimate, and people are using their real faces on this profile.
Yeah,
it's a little sloppy.
That doesn't make any sense. Like on Grindr, it's a lot of torso down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it makes a lot of sense. That's really all you care about. What's happening? Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't need to see your face and whether or not you like long walks on the beach.
Right.
I just want to know,
are you willing and able?
Yes.
And local.
Are you carbon based?
Right.
Do you want some dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Is there consent? You're a carbon-based life form, and you have wheels. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I got a question there, tradecraft there, on just putting their picture on it. Because I'm sure there's also, like, location-based stuff, right? They're, like, matching you with people.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much location-based, and people give their height, weight, and whatever profile name they want to use.
Right.
And then you just get it going. Because I guess divorce is too expensive. But a lot of people on the site, I'm like, would your divorce be all that expensive?
Right.
You know, like,
what
are you protecting?
Right.
It's like the dog, you know, I can't
I can't lose Sparky.
Yeah.
He's my only friend.
Pets. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that is like sloppy because then like you could easily see your significant other's like best friend on there. But then
you'd have to explain why you were there.
Has to explain why they're there.
Because you're doing a podcast episode about the website. That's
obviously
why I was there, fool. Why are we asking these questions? And I met up with this woman to ask her about her experience on there for the podcast.
Is it a crime to be a journalist? Is it a crime to be inquisitive? No.
Wow. I feel like Upton Sinclair here, just getting attacked for trying to bring things out into the light.
I mean, if you're messy enough, like that would actually be a fun thing for a couple to do, to just be like, all right, look, like we just want to see who around us, like what marriages around us are in trouble.
And
so
then,
like signing on that we're both doing this for purely for research purposes.
Right.
And then just like go in there and be like, oh, shit.
Oh, you know what it is? It's you've basically created your own DIY version of Cheaters with Joey Greco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you just do the legwork and like trying to find the local people and then just setting them up and then telling them there's like, hey.
Just record on your iPhone.
Yeah.
I mean.
That'd be a big TikTok show.
That would be.
That's the stuff that gets viral on TikTok. It's just like people doing weird shit.
Exactly. Also the kind of show that gets you stabbed probably by the fourth time. Like Joey Greco.
Oh, yeah. How about that? What is something you think is overrated?
Disney adults. Fathers giving their daughters away during the ceremony, and wine-related home decor. I told my boyfriend the list before we started recording. He's like, are you adding my mom on this podcast? I said, absolutely not. Nina, if you're listening, love
big,
you. I don't
Disney
mean your
fan?
Home decor. Well, she's a big wine decor fan.
Okay, that side of it, right?
Yeah. But the Disney adults, there's nothing wrong with... Like, I still watch Disney movies when I'm feeling nostalgic and drunk.
Yeah.
But it's the...
Nostalgic
when you start
drunk.
At the same time.
Feeling drunk. Yeah.
The conditions must be met for me to regress.
When you're sad and depressed and you're just feeling like the world is on your shoulders, like, Little Mermaid kind of brings you back to a happier time, you know? You can, like, go back to where you were at that at that moment in your life. But it's the problem is when you start to incorporate it like into your wedding and into your personality. Or like I have a lot of friends from high school that I see going on these like yearly mecca type trips to Disney. Right. When I know that like you're trying to be, you're like an aspiring YouTube like influencer and you have 10 followers and I don't know where you're getting any of this money.
Right.
You know, like I know you're going into debt to take this little Mickey Mouse selfie and say hashtag magic.
Do you, like, and you say for wine-based decor, this can be anything from like a lot of like a wall made of corks.
Don't talk about it, whine about it. Okay. Like a decal that says like
some people
coffee
like
first,
beer goggles.
Wine later.
I like wine glasses.
Exactly. Or that like fermented grapes are a fruit that like getting your daily fiber intake from wine, blah blah blah.
Right.
You know, it's usually on a white background, it's in script that's almost illegible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's like little stars in the corner. It's a way of life, I think.
Right. Yeah. I know that look. I know that
it's the culture of Karens, and I don't want to shit on any culture.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is their culture.
But and that you know, is
a
lot culture.
Of that's a, the wine puns shit just don't stop. Like, because we're still in peak rosé pun world, I feel like. The other day.
No way, rosé.
Yeah, no way, rosé. When I was at Target a while back, I saw this shit. I'm like, we're still doing this shit? We're still doing this shit? Really? Yeah. Okay. Stop and smell the rosé. It's like, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I don't know. I guess that's their, like I said, that's like their weed, you know? Like if they're like for their religion, that's their weed is the wine, you know?
I mean,
yeah. Not, yeah. I don't think there's nothing bad about it.
You don't have a bunch of decor around your house. That's like, I'm looking at wine glasses that say, hit me baby one more wine.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You don't have the equivalent of that.
Hakuna Moscato.
That's a good
one. That's
though.
Pretty good. Yeah. Like I would.
Yeah.
That's a real fucking thing.
Oh, really?
I thought that was on the spot.
No, these people are criminal. They've exhausted the fucking entire like pun vocabulary for wine. Like I'm telling you, because the wine and pun world, I feel like it truly goes hand in hand with people who feel like very literate and, you know.
Well, you've reached the Venn diagram of Disney adult and wine related decor with Hakuna Moscato.
Right.
Yeah. Woo.
That's their battle cry.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Costco, Kirkland signature. Yeah. I think it's underrated.
Which thing though? Which goes like focus in?
Well, focus in is buying booze at Costco. That's something that if you're not doing at home, do it now. Like you're wasting your money, you're wasting your life away if you're not buying booze at Costco.
Having a party? You don't want and guess
booze
what?
At Costco.
Get the booze at Costco.
It's half the price and it's twice the size.
Right.
And they have all of their mixers, like their gallon drinks. Those are also cheaper. And you just like stock up. Go every quarter. You don't even need to wait for a party. Don't be shame. Like go on your own. Like on the first of every month, stock up and like just make it a part of your ritual, your routine.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they have wine? While we're on the subject, do they have?
Absolutely. Like they have the what's the signature? Giant wines? There's the regular wine bottle, but then there's the giant
Magnum.
They have Magnums for $6.
I think a Jeroboam's the biggest.
Is it Jeroboam?
Then there's a Nebuchadnezzar. Is like an even bigger bottle.
Right.
I had a religion teacher tell us this when we were 16.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's like the biggest wine bottle guy. And you're like, what, fool? Like you were just talking about the passion.
Right.
Of Jesus
well, it's hard
Christ.
To imagine how it Jesus can get Christ. Bigger than those big ones. Like, how do you even carry that? It's like the size
it's
of the kiddie pool.
It's just like a stupid, I guess, I don't know. I just tuned out because he would show like a man for all seasons rather than like teaching. Like, right. And that was like his whole curriculum and talking about gigantic wine bottles. So anyway, shout out to you.
I also have kitchen shears on this list.
Mm. Yeah.
I think people bust out a cutting board and a knife for any old thing. You can just cut it. Just stand above the pan, snip, snip, snip. Sausages, carrots.
Yeah.
And then I also have the TV show Veronica Mars. It's a cult classic. I love it. I think it's Kristen Bell's best work.
Yeah, I bought a yellow Nissan Xterra because of that show.
Did you really?
No, but I thought that was a cool car then, and I every time I see it, I'm like, yeah, all right, yeah.
Stand by it.
You could be like, hey, who's that?
Who's that
the yellow
fella?
Xterra.
That completely missed me. Is that a? It's like detective.
Yeah, person. it's like a grimier Nancy Drew. Ooh. In what looks like Van Nuys, California.
Got it. No, yeah. Like, magical element to it?
No magic element, but it was only 3 seasons. It got canceled, and then the fan base was so committed that 10 years later, they completely crowdfunded a movie.
Right,
and then
right.
Hulu picked it up for the last season.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And so I wanted to talk about this New York Times profile of this former FBI agent, Terry Albury, who is, he's currently in jail because he dared be a whistleblower on what the FBI was doing during like the end of the Bush, actually like throughout the Bush administration into the Obama administration. And then he was arrested during the Trump administration. But he basically revealed just wild shit about, like, the profiling of Muslim people and entrapment, destroying innocent people's lives simply because of the color of their skin. And it's a wild profile because it's like, you're just, everything he's doing is like heroic, like the way he's thinking about it. Like, he's basically spends almost a decade of his life, like, trying to, like, dismantle it from within. He originally got into it, like, right before 9/11, because he wanted to, like, to pursue and, like, protect children from child predators. And, like, his family are, like, liberal people from Berkeley, and his uncle was a Black Panther, and he was, like, I don't know, like, just not your typical FBI agent. And
because he's not white?
And because he's and because he's liberal, but also because he's not white.
Yeah, I mean, you look at FBI, I'm like, I'm that meme of that Black woman on her knees squinting, like.
I included some pictures of his, like, graduating class from the FBI, and, like, if the FBI had been profiling balding guys with goatees, they would have been in a better position to recognize and address that problem, because he is the only person of color in his graduating class, and there are at least three balding guys with goatees.
There's an Asian guy too.
Okay.
Then one woman with a tan who, you know, maybe we can put that in the column. I don't know. But yeah, this story is wild.
Out of, like, 30.
The things that he says, right, are things that are not surprising or things that we have not heard of, too. But you can tell because of just sort of the clarity of which he's describing this. Like, they're like, oh, this is, like, this is so offensive, because we've known about the pattern of, like, entrapment that the FBI has been using, and even used, as they say, there's, like, even reporting around how the people who were attempting to kidnap Governor Whitmer in Michigan, very similar playbook, where it was the informants in the meeting saying, hey, what if we kidnapped them, huh?
Right.
What about that? Yeah. And then they go along, like, yeah, got them. They're going to do some wild shit. So it's really, I think, a really disheartening thing is, like, again, we're seeing another example of somebody who is trying to, I guess, you know, not, like, not that he can right the ship, but at least try and course correct in the small way he felt he could. And then now he's in jail.
Right.
Yeah, I have complicated feelings about just the concept of changing a structure from within. Like, I'm always a little, I don't know, like, I sometimes doubt, like, at some point, especially because he was in for so long, like, did it take that long to realize that this angle is not going to work? Like, let me transform the organization from within as the one guy trying to do it. And I'm just always suspicious of, like, how real is that in practice? Like, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis to try to transform something that is so systemic?
Yeah.
Like, what does that even look like?
I think it probably looks like first trying to adhere to the systems that are in place to raise grievances within the structurally fucked organization you're in. And then when those are rendered inert, then you are like, fuck, how do I do? So I guess I'll just laugh along, like, as he says. Then he had to just sort of, like, play along with all the, like, Islamophobic nonsense that the other agents were talking about. And, like, I guess maybe his only recourse is to just be like, I guess the only thing you can do is just come out very publicly and say what's happening, because there's not moves you set up and it's like, gotcha, FBI, now we're gonna be, you know, advocating for, like, workers' rights.
Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah, there isn't a playbook, and I think it always surprises me. I mean, obviously I'm not white, but I'm working to be not desensitized to the shock, but it's really fucking hard. You know what I mean? Like, every day there's a new thing of, like, well, did you know that we're racist? You know? Right. And it's like, no, I've been knowing. Right. So.
Right.
Well, hold on. How?
Yeah.
This is a new story. This might be a new story, actually.
How do I know that they're racist?
Right. Just some basic data gathering. But yeah, I guess, the amount of things that he was experiencing and having to witness it sort of makes like all the shit that you see, especially like the war on terror propaganda shit that you see, where it's like these people who are like, man, we got to defend the country, man, from evildoers. When really it was just a bunch of racists who said any person who came out of a mosque was a suspect. Like, that's not crime fighting.
Like, the details of how it was conducted was straight up, like, they would just pick somebody. First of all, they would pay somebody to inform. Mm-hmm. So that person was incentivized to just come up with information. And, I mean, there's this quote from a former agent who's not the person in jail, Albury, but the agent says, I'd say most of our investigations were based on very thin leads from questionable sources. But what was the alternative? The government was convinced that there were sleeper cells all over the country and we had to find them. So it's just create what the government thinks is there. I mean, it all started with that, with the search for like WMDs in Iraq, like that. But that turned out to be just like kind of written into the, you know, cellular makeup of every aspect of the war on terror, just like make up a problem so that you had something to spend money on and like could get your angst out and your racist anger out.
Well, and that's the fantasy of the FBI too. Like, right. it's so self-indulgent. You know, I think that they have this image of themselves kind of like running through the streets and like very Captain America saving the world. And then they catch a baby that's falling from a tower. And I think like they have to work really hard to almost maintain that image of themselves. And then their solution is, well, then let's create problems so that we can solve problems. Like, let's just find shit to be doing so that we don't need to address all of the other structural problems that we've created.
Yeah.
Like, make a other, make a bad guy, and then it becomes very simple. So then we don't need to be the bad guy.
Yeah. It's like almost like it's not even necessarily a policy of it, but this is just how American society is like manifested in this organization, which is like this sort of secret police force, which is, you know, there to uphold these narratives that we need to keep saying, like, everyone's in immense danger from the outside, from people from other countries. Also, these stereotypes that we have in our society, those are all true because we also look for cases where that's, you know, we can reinforce those.
Yeah.
And let's also, you know, very clearly ignore all of like the discriminatory and racist behavior of the people within the agency.
Yeah. Well, have you listened to the podcast Cops?
Mm-mm.
So interesting. He also, the guy that does it is Dan Taberski. He also has a new show that just launched called 9/12 that's about the impact of 9/11. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But Cops is all about the reality TV show Cops and how that reality show spanning over decades like has had this huge hand in shaping like a quote-unquote officer's self-perception, like what he thinks it looks like to be a detective and to be a cop. And so it's these like grown man children almost replaying those like fight scenes that they saw in Cops and then like wanting to get the bad guy. And so they're like chasing the feeling of, I don't know, like catching people red-handed or like needing it to be movie-like. And so then they create the bad guys so they can have that moment for themselves. It's really interesting.
Yeah, we had Dan on before. I think the show's called Running from Cops.
Oh, yes.
And it's really mind-blowing. And I mean, but yeah, like, it's like so written into the DNA that like that TV show down to like every aspect of what this officer saw behind the scenes of like they would abuse the no-fly list to coerce Muslims into spying on their communities, basically saying like we're going to put you on the no-fly list unless you give us names. And then like just everybody was under constant suspicion if they were Muslim, like everyone everywhere. It was basically FBI agents were sent into these communities to instill fear, he says, and then generate this paranoia within these people so that they know that they're under suspicion perpetually. And there's no justification for the suspicion other than he says, suspicion as a state of being. But basically just, you know, that is a pervasive and corrosive like force that's just like there always. It's not something that like you can like point to, but you know, you have the constant veil of suspicion and the possibility that somebody's just gonna fucking break into your house and make you give them names of your fucking best friends to like implicate them in a crime. It's just like so poisonous.
Oh, and the thought of even the concept of informants, right? I think is framed as this like sneaky strategy to get the bad guy, but in reality, it only creates extreme mistrust, extreme divisiveness, and a feeling of oppression within the community. And then that even furthers the decay of the community structure, which disproportionately targets Black and Brown communities.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will link off to the article in the footnotes. It is definitely a worthy read and puts into context some stories that have been underrepresented in the mainstream media over the past 20 years, for certain. Let's talk about real quickly what Donald Trump and his campaign are doing to try and stay front and center without holding office and without having access to an active social media account.
All he can, he has very few tools at his disposal because he's not like at the G7 with a mic and where he could just be like, says some wild shit and then it consumes that fucking headlines for, you know, weeks on end. So he's got to be very efficient. And like right now, his toolkit includes rallies, saying vile, racist shit, just straight up lies, or I guess doing commentary at boxing matches on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So we'll talk about the last couple points. You know, for example, his latest attempt at just creating a bunch of waves was him lamenting the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue in Virginia. He had this whole, you know, because now all he does is put out like press releases in the form of like tweets, but they're just so long. People just check out after the first sentence. Mm. One of the last ones of this sentence says, if only we had Robert E. Lee to command our troops in Afghanistan. What an embarrassment. We are suffering because we don't have the genius of a Robert E. Lee, the guy who wanted to destroy the Union to keep slavery around. That's so that, you know, that chummed the waters a little bit, but it didn't. Quite, I don't think did the numbers that he was used to, you know, getting for saying things like that. Then he said something about 9/11 that I didn't realize. He's been saying like a few different lies about 9/11. The most prominent ones were that he went down there with a crew and like helped do shit. Mm. That's very, people are like, I don't know. We saw you down there. Not many people have heard of you bringing any kind of resources to help, aside from like a camera to document you being there. And then he also said like he was giving money to charities and he never did. So he apparently he's telling a new lie. And I just want to play his new lie for everybody to hear, because this is just, again, part of his self-myth building that he does and he's normally used to.
Well, I was down there right after the event and I brought a big crew of people down and I helped, a lot of other people helped. Those first responders are very brave. And I'm telling you, we were hearing creaks. I've never forgotten it. There was, I think, the United States Steel Building, it was called at the time, and it's 50 stories tall. And we heard creaks. I said, that building's going to come down. And two big firemen grabbed me and grabbed other people, and they just moved out of that area. Never came down, but I never heard a noise like that. And it was a scary situation. But the job they...
Okay, so he's lying like someone's elderly parent about...
or five-year-old. Like
One. Yeah, it's there's an entire spectrum of liars. But yeah, I like how he goes, oh my God, and the firemen were like, get out! And you know, it never came down. But I'll never forget.
But that's his... The art of the lie is to... be like, and you know, it never did come down, to make it like sound a little bit truer, that like it's not like they're exploded in the background.
Yeah, you can't prove it. Like, we're right. Like, did y'all hear the creaks with Donald Trump after 9/11? Mm-hmm. They're like, what? Mm-hmm. Are you told the what? The creaks? No.
Well, and he also tries to tell lies that can, like, he purposely tells lies that can be verified. Because as a normal human being, you're like, no one would lie about something that would be so easily disproven.
Right. Yeah.
But he's not a normal human being. And this particular lie reminds me of, if you've watched the documentary, The Woman Who Wasn't There. Mm-hmm. It's just a documentary about a woman who, like, inserted herself into 9/11 survivor support groups and people that lost families and husbands and told this big story about how her fiance died and blah, 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 blah. It's fascinating, but it's literally just him.
Right.
You know,
and because her whole thing fell apart when someone just bothered to, like, look into it. Right.
Well, and
like,
the shame, too. It was another survivor that was like, this is not making any sense.
Right.
And,
right.
Like, but you're never like, you would never do that. You know, like,
right,
I
right.
wonder if this person is lying about losing their arm and their husband died and then was saved by this firefighter. And
mm-hmm.
you just never think to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I mean, you look into it and then
it's just an insult to people who actually went through it. Like my friend Steve Ranazizi, who. Sorry.
Good guy. Yeah. Comedy fake 9/11 joke. Wow. For all the comedy fans out there, Steve Ranazizi 9/11 scandal.
One of the guys from the, what is it, the league?
Yeah.
Claimed that he was there, also did the same thing. Which is very
strange. My God.
Oh, and one last thing, though, about the boxing match. Yesterday, when we were talking about it, I said, look, they probably got a fucking payday for that. Mm. And there's sources out there saying that they put an obscene amount of money in front of the two Trumps to get them to do color commentary at this boxing event with Evander Holyfield. Even though a lot of people who are like working on it, like, dude, I don't want anything to do with like some Trump production. And the promotion company's like, sorry, look, maybe this will sell tickets because I don't know. Maybe it will. We'll see.
I mean, if anyone can comment on physical prowess and sport,
yeah,
it's going to be the boy Don.
Yeah,
right.
If anybody, that's how he was known
right.
young in his athletic career, is the boy Don.
He's like, oh, look at his biceps. They're bigger than Christmas hams. Oh, you love to see it. Wow, I bet they're so juicy. How do you think they taste? If you take a big old bite out of that. What do you mean boxing? He's just like, yo, stop disgusting. Like looking at everyone like food.
I mean, at this point, I'm shocked that he hasn't started a podcast.
Oh, God.
Like, that feels like the obvious, like an Alex Jonesy, just like errant stream of consciousness. I'm just surprised that it hasn't happened.
I wonder if someone's just done the thing like, you know, like if you've ever been in a podcast session and you're monitoring your own mic, so you're hearing your own voice come through your headphones, if they just put that on him, if that's like a Oculus headset for him, when he's like, whoa, what's happening?
Just wow, self-ASMR.
Hello. Yes.
Who's
fuck
that
you,
man?
Hillary. Like.
And
like,
he never presses fine. Record.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, recorded 300 episodes, but none of them are available to the public.
Welcome back to episode 5022 of the Sundowning with Trump show. Like, I don't know where that goes, but yeah, I think it's just because there's no audience. I think that's probably why. Like, you can't retweet
boring.
A podcast. Yeah, exactly. He needs that stimulation.
Yeah. All right. Let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And we're just talking during the break about how the creek, I've never heard a sound like that. His lies always contain big guys.
Yeah.
Like these generals, they're big and handsome. And they told me, they said, you're the greatest president since Washington, maybe. And this one contained like big firefighters coming to sweep him off his feet.
Huge. Yeah. Huge. Huge.
These firefighters were huge. And they whisked me out of there. Took me to their place, and
there's even a supercut of him talking about big, strong guys.
Yeah,
look at the size of that guy.
Powerful guy. This,
you know, I have a friend, big guy, one of the biggest in the world.
Well, I'm standing next to him. That's some big people behind me.
Powerful guy, big, strong guy,
big, strong guy,
big, strong guy.
Is big, strong guy.
I mean, you know, so he's definitely like, yeah, I'm sure. He loves it.
I have a friend, big guy, big one guy. Of the biggest in the world.
Big Gary, they call him. The biggest. Had biceps the size of Christmas hams.
did he say the Christmas hams thing? Or no,
because but it sounds like some old folky,
you know, right, thing. You should have seen his biceps. They were like the kinds of chains they used to put on the side of Navy battleships. So strong, so strong.
So strong. Anyways.
You think he, I wonder if like low-key he's paid an artist to do like a romance novel cover with him being swept away by one of these, like these big guys he's always talking about, you know, like a Fabio-esque sort of just big chiseled guy. You should have seen him. He swept me away from the rubble. Really, I felt so safe in his arms. And that's how I want the country to feel with my new military plan.
Fabio made me feel.
You're just tender. And you're in the arms of a guy with biceps the size of Christmas hams.
just as sticky.
Yeah.
Just as smoky. With the cloves in it, too.
And you're like, how'd you get the cloves in there? And
with the little
hatch,
pineapple circus.
The hatch work on the cut on the fat is really impressive. Maraschino cherries.
All right. Well, I guess it shouldn't be surprising, given who was elected president in 2016, that America hasn't been like super respectful, classy, when it comes to never forgetting 9/11. So our writer JM kind of took a look back at, you know, 9/11, the national tragedy, and merchandising bonanza.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, there's some wild shit in here. So there was a big run of coins that came out very early on. There's a medallion allegedly made from recycled steel from the World Trade Center that cost a mere $30. And this is noble. They set aside 5,000 to 10,000 medallions for the victims' families at no charge. So,
like, this is so kind.
Yeah. So
hi, we turned this murder scene into a neck chain for other people to buy, but here's a free one for you because it's such a terrible loss. So sorry.
In 2004, there were coins supposedly minted from silver recovered at Ground Zero, which I don't know.
Doesn't make a lot of
from
sense.
The pocket change of the victims?
Like, no, what? Wasn't there that like rumor that there was this like vault or something in the fucking basement?
Oh, okay.
There was some, I just remember some weird folksy bullshit thing of like, you know, there was like a lot of precious metal in there too. But I don't know. I mean, it could be true, but maybe it was recovered. But I remember that was like a big.
Like a Ground Zero Three Kings where they're going in.
Depending on what part of the internet you were on at the time.
Right. So these, they actually claimed, were legally authorized silver dollars, which they weren't. They were actually made by a novelty company that also produced Harry Potter coins, which also not acceptable as legal tender, as far as I know. And then in 2011, the federal government started selling their own 9/11 commemorative coin for $56.95. You got to mark it up so that, you know, you take advantage of the fact that it's the real deal.
From the people who brought you 9/11 is the 9/11 coin. Like, what the fuck are you doing, y'all? Like, sorry about our foreign policy, y'all. Here's a coin.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan, sponsored by M. Night Shyamalan, right. Featuring fantastic. M. Night Shyamalan.
For $56.99, who could say no? What a specific number, too. Why does it have to be $57? Like, what is...
You know, they is just...
That, is that like a number to make you feel like, oh, they were thinking about how valuable that is?
Probably, yeah.
They could have just said 100. Right. But I think it's really probably worth close to 57. The government is honest with their pricing.
There was, in non-coin related merchandise, the 9/11 coloring book for children, which, you know.
And nipple tassels for the ladies, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That there was an image of Osama bin Laden being executed while cowering behind a woman in a Muslim hijab.
Which is the text from the page.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is so funny, man. Like, they just basically turn never forget into be like, never forget we're now painting all people from the Middle East as evildoers. Never forget that's the script we're sticking to now. Like, it was never about the United States, because that's just this malleable concept that people bandy around so disingenuously to bolster whatever fucked up ideology they have. It's never about the actual country. Just sort of saying, well, this is the thing you can't attack, so I'll put the country in front of me, and then that will protect whatever nonsense I'm advocating for. Because it was like, the other thing with the merchandise is, I remember every TV show, they were like doing stuff where people were fucking wrapped up in the flag and shit and crying. And they're like, I just feel so special to be part of this country. And it truly was put us in this era where you could not criticize the United States.
Right.
Like, people who were on the news saying like, well, the reason people wanted to attack the United States is because of all the destabilizing activity that we do in the region that creates jihadist movements and things like that. And they're like, they're vanished because, you know, a fucking fighter jet is going to like nut red, white and blue over like a football game or some shit.
Right. Well, I think a huge part of that is like, not that Americans aren't, or some Americans aren't racist already, but I think to keep people obsessed with America, they have to convince everyone that the rest of the world isn't free and you're the only one that's free. And that's why you should be so proud, as opposed to like the reality, which is there's lots of places that, you know, free healthcare, and like when you have a baby, you can stay home with your baby. And
oh no,
you know.
What's that place? Sounds scary.
Yeah, ew.
Do they have challenge coins to commemorate their tragedy?
They don't have merch, though. That's, I mean,
it's where they lose me.
You know, it was also like one of the most lucrative kind of storylines that America has ever, because like after the Cold War, the military industrial complex didn't really know what to do with themselves, and then this gave them a new purpose, so they successfully cashed in. But it was generally like seen as not a great look when like Walmart recreated the towers out of cases of soda.
Yeah.
Which is, I think a lot of people have seen that picture, but you got the red, white, and blue with the Pepsi, Diet Coke, and Coke cans, and then the towers are made of Coke Zero.
And the thing is, the people were mad that they were mixing Pepsi and Coke products. It wasn't.
Well, they should have done all Pepsi because Pepsi solves all of the world's injustices.
Right.
Yes. We've long said that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they had that same ad agency around 9/11? If they were like with the Kendall Jenner ad, if they tried to do something. Yeah. It's like Muhammad Atta here. I think you just want this Pepsi, sir.
Yeah.
Yikes.
She's a flight attendant. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It would have been United 93 or whatever the fuck. Right. And it would have been a Pepsi ad. That's what this, again, is so weird about everything is that there's no sanctity to anything. And I think that's really what all this reveals is there's nothing sacred in this country. Absolutely fucking nothing. Not even human life, because it'll just be a fucking merch display or a commemorative blanket or a coin because someone else doesn't give a fuck. They just know that they can use these events to make more money or more fear. Yeah. So, wow. Never forget, nothing is sacred here.
The 9/11 museum is still open. The gift shop is still like putting out products like a cheese cutting board, a 9/11 commemorative cheese tray where it's in the shape of the United States and their little hearts where the hijacked airplanes went down. So, you know.
There's something like meta about taking a knife to a board that commemorates about that.
This is, I'm not sure who made it, but it was an official selection. They, like the person who runs the museum's gift shop, which... Again, the 9/11 museum maybe shouldn't have a gift shop, but the person who runs it was like, we're carefully selecting products to make sure they're tasteful. And yeah, and apparently this fell under that category. And it's also just kind of extra fucked up because the 9/11 museum also has unidentified remains on the premises of like many relatives of victims have actively protested just the idea of having fucking people selling mugs and t-shirts and scarves.
Well, have they tried branded. The cutting boards yet?
Right.
Because that's some of
they the... are pretty, they do look pretty nice.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What kind of fucking again, look, there's so many things wrong with this cutting tray, cheese board, fucking charcuterie terrorism board that they've got. But like the only thing that this has, it's a ceramic outline of the United States with just three fucking stars painted on like parts of the Northeast.
Yep.
That's really so I'm sure they reappropriated some ceramic mold and said, all right, put stars there. It's 9/11. My next thing is if you are putting this platter together, are you like really treating that section of the cheese board as sacred? You're not just going to lay a shitload of crackers and shit on top of it.
Right.
And like honeycomb. And further disrespect the I just don't, everything about it, like, I don't even know how you present it in a way that someone goes, oh my God, is this a 9/11 commemorative? That's so thoughtful of you. Right. Like, you're such an ace with the decor, you know, I love it. Thank you so much. And like, yeah, and these wine 11 glasses that you made, I love it. I love it.
I mean... Those have to exist, right?
Is there wine 11? Sure. There has to be wine 11 at this point. Right. I mean, haven't we reached
wine
that logical
11
conclusion?
Can't help but forget or something like that, where it's like,
oh my God, wine 11, never forget your corkscrew.
There you go. The gift shop is still going today, selling everything from toy cars for $65 that look like just $20 toy cars, but they have never forget written on the hood. And then there's also like a bunch of t-shirts. 20 years later, limited edition collection of just garbage.
I just looked on Etsy and there's some 9/11, like 20 years later, never forget face masks. And I just don't think that the audience that like wears never forget memorabilia and wears a mask ever overlap.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a wasteful product, really.
That's an interesting person, though. I'd like, where's that New York Times profile?
Right.
They're multifaceted for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just baffling. I don't know.
And it's baffling.
It's been, it's been 20 years. I mean, Jesus, like it's been so long. And you think of how things have changed so drastically just in the last few years, but how we're still like really having a problem having a real, again, because America hates a reckoning, having a reckoning with this supposed war on terror and the amount of money that was just pissed away while everything just went by the wayside here in the country. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm just thinking back of like how I remember the city in LA, people were so hopped up on that patriotism shit. It was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Like every street turned into some like fucking jingoistic. It's just like everything was a parade suddenly.
Right.
Except for specific parts of the city. But yeah, like I just felt like everything else was just this like weird fever dream that people went through those first couple of years and like completely ignored what was actually at stake.
Yeah.
Hey, but that's, it's like the government knows what they're doing when it comes to shit like that.
Well, Hina, it has been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you and hear you and all that good stuff?
Yes, you can follow me personally at Hina Rising on all socials, and you can check out some of the stuff that Salted Logic is doing at saltedlogic.com.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, this is my favorite tweet of this week, and it is, serial killers in the 70s had no idea that they were going around creating content.
That's good. You wrote your thesis about like true crime.
My thesis was about how podcasting is like transforming true crime to like have an impact on the justice system, because the people that basically like we write stories about like really pretty white well-off women, and then that stops the public from being able to recognize someone that isn't that archetype as a victim, and then it stops their cases from being solved because we have the diversity of what we see as a victim is so small that like it impacts our empathy.
Right. And then podcasting has been able to push past that.
Yeah, the women in podcasting that, like, you know, most women have experienced some kind of sexual harassment in their life, and they just have more empathy with victims. So instead of talking about, like, Ted Bundy and how he's so hot, which is kind of what true crime was for a while, they're talking about the victims and their pain, and it's transforming the way that we see crime because it's being told in this, like, empathetic kind of female-driven way.
Yeah, really cool. Miles, where can people find you, and what's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh boy, Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check out 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra and I, where we, you know, just fucking look through the matrix of that show. And some tweets that I like. Okay, so the first one is from Tani Newsom at Trondi Newman. She tweeted, last night my friend was trying to list all the fixings on a Chicago dog, and when she couldn't remember anymore, she lifted up her jean short leg, and on her thigh was a huge Chicago dog tattoo, and she looked at it and goes, oh yeah, pickle spears. This city takes my breath away.
Wow.
Another one from Trash Jones at Jay Zucks, tweeting, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Unfortunately, we are on a plane.
That's pretty good. Tweet I've been enjoying, Roy Wood Jr. tweeted, iPhone cameras are too good for them to still be charging us for school day pictures. I respect the hustle, though. That is still happening, and we're still paying for it. I'm not proud of it, but and the pictures are so bad. The pictures are, because anyways,
I think my dad tried to show up and take a picture of me to try and save money once.
There you go.
That's but smart. They were like, what are you doing here, fool? Like, you can't show up to, like, unannounced with a camera to a school full of small children.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnote.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you'll enjoy. Miles, what song are we suggesting people
check out? It's not going to be Kanye West going to Taco Bell tonight remix.
Boo.
Although, you know, that might happen. This is going to be from Bad Bad Not Good. They have a new track out with Kareem Riggins, one of my favorite drummers and one of my favorite musicians, just a regular collaborator with J Dilla. And this track is called Beside April. And, you know, Bad Bad Not Good, they're all musicians, so this is just a band playing their thing. But the track is just very smooth sounding, and it feels like a psychedelic, like Italian spy movie, like score, something like that. But it's funky too. So yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I'm trying to give people a mood so they understand what the track will evoke, and maybe draw you into listening to it. So this is Beside April with Bad Bad Not Good featuring Kareem Riggins.
Damn. All right. I am intrigued. I'm going to go check that shit out. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.